The scripture today is from John chapter 12, verses 12 to 19. Talk about sharing the stories of Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this reading that we're about to receive together. We thank you for your word that you have so freely given to us. And we ask you that our hearts, our minds are open to receive this blessed gift, that we may then use it for your glory. Encourage us this day. Challenge us this day. Whatever it is that we may need, that we may be more yours and more apt to follow you within our lives. We also pray for your mercy upon the sermon this day, that it too may be used for your glory and your light might shine. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 12, verse 12 to 19. Hear now God's word. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first. When Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Palm Sunday is one of those days where you get the same sermon every year, pretty much. I mean, it's about when Jesus' triumphal entry, as they call it, into Jerusalem. And we share these stories over and over again because they're important. They're what we need to know about Christ. And this Holy Week that we're entering, Passion Week, is of great importance. We share the same stories. What it is Jesus has gone through, what Jesus has endured, that Jesus died, and of course, next time we meet on Sunday again, that Jesus rose again. These are happy times, although it goes through some troubling times at first. But Palm Sunday is no troubling time. It's a happy time. It's a joyful occasion. Jesus enters on the colt of a donkey, and the people shout and carry on, and they wave palm branches. As I shared with the children, they lay their cloaks down for Jesus' donkey to walk on. It's all a sign, a show of submission and joy and gladness. The Messiah has come. Now, there's different stories of this in the Bible. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic Gospels, the ones that are similar, the story goes that Jesus came in, much like we already read today, on a colt of a donkey, raising the palms in the air, "Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest." And then the Pharisees come up to Jesus and say, "Tell your people to stop this." And Jesus' response to them is basically, what? No, if they should stop, right, even the stones will hear out something. This is our benediction today, but that's okay. Jesus' answer, "I tell you, if these became silent, the stones will cry out." John doesn't include that. The Pharisees in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they kind of had a point in a way. Rome is in charge, and the Pharisees were worried about militaristic response to this, what could be defined as a riot, or this show power and display and authority, because when someone entered into a town and everyone were shouting what they were shouting and raising palm trees and that sort of thing, that you would do that for a king. And the Pharisees were worried that Rome soldiers would come in and quiet things down at spear and sword point, and they didn't want that. John, however, has a different response. Now, John's different. John's is different in general. The whole book is different. It has more of a higher Christology, meaning it talks more about Jesus' godhood, his connection with his Father, that Jesus is the Son of God. The other Gospels say that, but not quite as strongly as what John does. And John's response here in verse 19, the Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." In other words, instead of the Pharisees going up to Jesus and telling them to stop, in John, the Pharisees stood back, raised their hands of it all, and says, "We can't stop this. It's going to happen." Now, from the book of John's point of view, them saying this is, you know, John being high Christology is saying, this is God's work. You can't stop God's work. No matter how difficult people try to push against it, how strongly people stand against God, God will have God's way, and that's about it. This line from the Pharisees is John does something interesting that the other Gospels do a little bit, but John does it with panache. That some of the greatest words, some of the greatest testimonies about Jesus are told by the other side. Pharisees here, those against Jesus, tell a great testimony about Jesus. You can't stop this. A Roman soldier says about Jesus later, "This was truly the Son of God." This is what John wants us to know about the point of Palm Sunday. You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. And indeed, Jesus' love and teachings after the resurrection spread throughout all the world. From the Pharisees' point of view, this was prophetic. But it came from a very unlikely source. I also think that it's a word that we need today. Palm Sunday, we talk about, is supposed to be a joyous time, and indeed it is. It's a chance to celebrate and to stand up and to praise God, our Messiah, our King has entered our world, our life, and it's a time to surrender to that. But this point here is a great reminder too. The reminder is nothing can stop that. I have talked to a lot of older folks throughout my time here on earth, being a pastor. You know, I've been in touch with a lot of older folks, and there's a consensus when it comes to older folks, which is their childhood was better than the time today. How many of you agree with that? Yes. See, I was right. Well, I wasn't right. Just, you were right. That's what you told me. And I hear that. I hear that all the time. I've been in ministry and been asking the same question long enough for the last generation to have told me this. And so the last generation's childhood was better than the time that they had gone through. And I dare say probably the generation before them, their childhood was probably better than the time that they went through, which just so happened to be your childhood. So my kids' childhood will be better than the time they go through when they get older, which right now is a time that you say isn't as good as your childhood. So the thing is quite interesting that we all get excited about the time that we grew up in. But also we can agree that as we get older, we start to see things a little bit different than we did as kids. You start to see the troubles and the heartaches and the pain. Our focus changes. Not that times really change. They do a bit here and there. But our focus really changes. No longer do we look at, what's on our schedule today. Oh, I get to get up, have breakfast, go outside in the woods, play all day. You know, we'll get to do that anymore. And so our focus goes on those things which we have to do. Traffic is terrible. Weather is not doing so great. Politics are awful. Our world is in a state of disarray. This is now where our focus is. And the truth is all that stuff is true. Things aren't that great if you look at certain things. She's giving me a thumbs up. She knows. Things aren't all that great. Things are rough out there. I mean, American politics, look at that for a second. I mean, talk about a bummer. We had a historic moment in our nation. First African-American woman assigned to the Supreme Court. That's a good moment. And yet when it happened, everyone walked out who voted against her. Maybe not everyone. I didn't take numbers, but a lot. A lot of people got up and walked out. What happened to the day when you cheered for those you disagreed with just because something good had happened to them? What happened to the day when, even though you lost, you still respected people enough in order to stay there and support them? The divide seems to be so wide that how can we ever get back? The world, the culture that we live in today, in some ways, is happier when people fail than they are when people succeed. You look on that internet, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and all the TikTok and all the videos that come up there, you get more likes and more interest to the fail videos than you do to the animal videos, which actually is pretty close. We love to see people fall and get hurt. It's tough out there. And it can really make someone discouraged. But I believe this. I believe that this is still truth. When it comes to Jesus and the plans that God, you see, we can do nothing about. God still will have the final word. God's love will still reign. God can still cut through all this meanness, all this hatred, all this disrespect. If God can do this, what then as Christians is our job? Our job is to call attention to God's love. That even though we feel that the voices of the critic and the cynic and the pessimist and the hatred and the racism is loud, the whispering of love in the right moment can be more powerful. A word of love, an action of love, a word of encouragement can go far longer and reach far deeper than hatred ever can. The Pharisees were right. When it comes to Christ's love, no one can stop that. I pray that as a church, both as a gathering, as individuals, that we know this to be truth. And we don't succumb to the negativity that is our culture these days. But through Jesus Christ, we're able to live the positive. The fact that Jesus is Lord, the fact that Jesus loves us, the fact that goodness, kindness, mercy, self-control will be far more powerful and far greater than all the hatred that's out there. I pray that we're able to make our love heard, even if it's a whisper. We do our best to be a place of safety and love and encouragement for those who need it. Because Christ on this Palm Sunday was that to many people and is that to us today. And we can rejoice in that. As a final piece of scripture to leave with you today, our benediction. But Jesus answered, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. My prayer is for this week that we give no reasons for the stones to cry out. We rejoice in God's name and presence with us today and always. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Go in peace.